Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. You're listening to the Intentional Parents Podcast, brought to you by Intentional. Intentional is all about spiritual formation in the family. We desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Enjoy this week's conversation. On today's episode, we have the wonderful Jerry and Pat Sitzer. Just recently, Elizabeth and I sat down in our home with Jerry and Pat, and we had the most lovely conversation. Now, if you need context for who Jerry is, all you need to do is listen to an episode that's in the show notes. Click the link in the show notes. We interviewed him about a year ago, and we had the most incredible conversation actually in their home, which was incredible. But today we sit down with Jerry and his wife, Pat, and we talk about what it looks like to have blended families. Jerry says of Patricia, it's his first wife, second time around. I'll let you listen to the episode to figure out what that means and why they say it. But today we talk about blended families, what it looks like to be remarried. We talk about the idea of having grandkids and trying to blend not only your adult children, but grandchildren. And there is so many nuggets along the way. So if you're a person that finds yourself in that position or know anyone that is, please share this episode because Jerry and Pat give us so much insight. Now, Jerry is a professor emeritus of theology at Whitworth University. He's written more than 12 books, one being A Grace Disguised, Water from a Deep Well, and so many other wonderful books. Patricia actually is a licensed therapist and doing the work in real time with wonderful people. And we just know that today you're going to love this conversation. We truly just dearly love Jerry and Pat. They're not only friends, but mentors to us. And we have been so honored to just sit with them and get to know them deeper. And I know you're going to get to know them deeper today as well. So please enjoy today's conversation with Jerry and Pat Sitzer. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Thank you for everybody who has rated, subscribed, taken time to just even write a note. Thank you. It means the world to us that you've done that. And we're on YouTube now. So if you are listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I want to see what that's like, go over and watch podcasts. I don't ever watch podcasts.
Never have.
Don't watch them, but a lot of people are into it. So if you are, feel free to go check out the content. You can actually see our wonderful guests that we have on the show today, which is really exciting. But today is very special for Elizabeth and I because I don't want to say our favorite couple in the world, but I think that's a very true statement. Mm-hmm. At least right up there at the top, Jerry and Pat Sitzer are with us in our home. Oh, welcome to the show, you guys.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Oh. A privilege.
Oh, it's been really sweet. We meant to do this last year, or we at least talked about it. You were speaking, Jerry, at our leadership retreat in Tahoe, and thank you for doing that, by the way. That was amazing. And that was the first time I think, well, we had already met you, Pat, but that was the first time everyone got to hang out. And we just all realized really quickly, there's a lot of overlapping kindred spirits. So mm-hmm. We've been so thankful for you guys being here. And we're specifically excited because we want to talk about this topic of remarriage and blended families. Mm-hmm. And you guys have just an amazing story. And we're going to get into that. Before we talk about, you know, some of the brief history, I think it's really important to note that we did do an amazing interview. I think it was two parts because it was so long. Yeah. Was it two parts? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember. Maybe you guys remember. I don't.
It was
two parts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So two parts of Jerry, you shared a ton of history of life and some of your specific story and a little bit of your and Pat's story. But today, Pat's on the hot seat. I'm excited. Your better half is here. So we're really excited about that piece. But I just wanted to say all that to say you guys are a gift to the world. And I know people are going to be so blessed.
And we'll link those episodes in the show notes. So anybody listening who wants to hear the full story.
Yes.
You can find it there.
But you're sitting on our couch. We're talking about blended families and remarriage specifically because obviously there's a story there. So maybe I'm just going to pass it to you guys. And maybe just give us the brief history, anything you want to say. It's your turn.
Well, thank you. Well, we are about to celebrate our 14th anniversary.
Wow. Yes.
We're excited about
that. What is the date exactly?
August 28th. So another month or so. Yes.
14.
But yeah, it'll be 14 years for us. And they've been wonderful years. Jerry, as you know from the story, was a widow for
20 years.
2 years? Like I remember.
20 years.
Yeah.
And then I was divorced.
Okay.
And we met. We had known each other for a very long time, actually. We went to the same church originally. And that's how we originally got to know each other. But that was many years ago.
Yes.
And then Jerry and his family left that church to go to a church closer to his home.
Okay.
So that the kids could go to youth group
How long ago would that have been that you first initially met each other?
Well, I knew him during the accident. So.
She actually knew my first wife.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so it goes that far back.
And then I taught a Sunday school class in our church, and she attended it.
Yeah.
And our kids knew each other as well and went to the same camp together, especially my two boys and her two girls. So there was quite a bit of... Quite a bit of
kids knew each other. They were friends. I mean, friends, is that like
they were somewhat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. They did know each other quite well.
Okay. So you started going to a different church. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to get that detail. So they started going to a different church.
Quite a few years back, maybe 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then talk about how we reconnected. This has got to be 16 plus years ago now.
Yeah. Okay. Jerry came back to our church, First Press in Spokane, and was doing a book signing.
Okay.
And it's so funny because the week before he was supposed to do the book signing, the books didn't show up. So they rescheduled it.
Okay.
And it just happened that, you know, we wouldn't have both been there, but we were.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started to talk a little bit in the back before he started to... do his little lecture and book signing.
His little
and there
lecture.
It was a small lecture then. He could do big lectures.
No, I know he can. I can
do really big lectures.
This one was a smaller one. There was a little spark that happened that day.
Wow.
But we just started taking walks and having coffee for quite a while.
Hmm.
But that's what started our romance eventually.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you've been married for 14 years, how long ago was that? How long did you guys date? What was that situation?
We dated about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were on the slower track.
Sure. Because how old were the kids at that time?
Yeah. The youngest was, they were all out of high school.
Okay.
The youngest was my daughter and she was just graduated.
Okay.
The oldest was...
Catherine,
and she was getting married that summer.
Yeah, she was getting married the following summer, I think. No, that summer.
That summer.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we had, between the two of us, we had 5 kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the oldest had just been married. The next 4 were all kind of getting launched.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say that would be the right word to use, is they were getting launched.
3 were still in college, 2 out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys started dating...
Well, that's an interesting story because if you ask them about it, we all roll our eyes and say, oh, that summer, because we weren't really dating too much. We didn't call it dating, but we were taking walks is what we would say.
You guys still take walks. You guys take walks.
Yes, we do. That's it.
It's how your romance started.
That's right. It's how we have a walking relationship.
Yeah.
And they were all at camp. Together, like three of our kids and one of our daughter-in-laws and another son-in-law kind of did some guest speaking.
Moved in and out, and her youngest was at the camp.
Yeah, so they were all sort of together up at this camp while we were back in Spokane taking walks.
and they found out.
Yeah.
How did they find? Did they just find out that you guys were walking? Or
no,
like,
I just told my daughters. He wouldn't have admitted there was any kind of spark or anything.
Stone cold Jerry.
And for me, there wasn't.
Yeah, right. There is no way that that's how that story goes.
I didn't get a lightning bolt there. No, they were pretty surprised because they were all working together.
And they were friends.
Except for the oldest, my daughter, who was not there. And they were friends. They were directing programs together.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they got this bombshell that their parents were taking walks and getting to know each other.
Wow. I could imagine how that would be just
said,
so...
What is happening here?
That's the right word.
It was very disorienting for them.
My youngest said, does that mean someday we might have to start calling you the two girls? Sibsters. That's the word he used.
Sibsters.
Pretty clever.
Wow.
Anyway.
You are enjoying content brought to you by Intentional, a crowdfunded nonprofit that desires to help families and marriages all around the world in the area of discipleship and spiritual formation. This offering is completely free, thanks to the generosity of our growing community of legacy builders. Legacy Builders is a group of people from all over the world that gives monthly to fuel this dream that we have in our hearts of seeing discipleship to Jesus in the family become a way of life. A monthly gift of $5, $10, or even $30 can continue to fuel this ministry forward. Our dream is to invite people like you to join and partner with us at a financial level and to see this work integrated into families. So as you listen to this podcast, would you prayerfully consider joining us? Would you allow the Spirit to lead you, even if it's just a few dollars a month? Thank you so much. And may the Spirit of Jesus give you wisdom, clarity, and joy as you pray about joining us. If you want to join today, go to intentionalparents.org and click on Give.
So you started taking walks that summer. And then so obviously the walks became more obviously. And then you guys got married. That had to have been interesting too, to get married. And I mean, how long was it until the kids were like, or was there a process for the kids to get on board? Did that take a while, or was that, I can only imagine.
It was about a 2-year process. Yeah. I mean, I'm not, you could speak to that, Jerry, because you were so intentional.
I was really cautious.
Of course.
In my heart, I didn't want to lose anybody. Mm-hmm. And there's always a risk in remarriage that somebody gets left behind. Yeah. Could be a friend. It could be one of your children. Yeah. Could be a sibling. Yeah. And I mean, that is a risk that's posed. In our case, our kids are getting launched, and we're kind of, in a way, pulling them a little bit back to the nest, dealing with something that their parents are doing, a big transition their parents are involved in. And when kids are 18 to 25 years old, they just don't think much about their parents. Mm-hmm. They're more interested in how they're going to take their place in the world. Mm-hmm. So it adds quite a big wrinkle along the way, and it's a risky proposition. And so I was cautious for that and some other reasons. I didn't want that to happen.
We want to let you know about a new offering, a 31-day prayer devotional entitled Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth. This book was born out of desperation. I didn't know how to lead my kids spiritually, so I started praying honest, dependent, daily prayers. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me," God says, "and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." If you want to learn more, head to intentionalparents.org. And if you partner with us at $25 a month or more, we'd love to send you a copy as a thank you.
Yeah. I think even more so today, I look back and recognize what a huge adjustment it was for them. And I'm so grateful to them in the way they navigated it and showed us grace and love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some of the families listening that might be in that similar situation, I'm curious, what were some of the intentional things that you at least attempted? This process isn't perfect. We get that.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't have a follow example.
No, we don't have a formula.
No, not a formula, so but different. I think there's also some, what I'm hearing and what I want to draw is the thoughtfulness. You were thoughtful. Yeah. And I think that sometimes it's just easy to jump to the next thing and maybe not slow down enough. Because, for example, I'm sure the relationship, you guys probably could have gotten remarried or married before those 2.5 years as a relationship, meaning that you guys were ready to get married maybe before the kids were ready for you to get married. Is that right?
Well, I was, at least.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts come to mind right away is I think at least somewhere in our brains was the thought that this is our relationship and our romance. Hmm. Our decision, it wasn't their decision. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of along for the ride. Mm-hmm. And what's happening to us emotionally and relationally mm-hmm. is not happening to them.
Yeah. Right.
That's true, especially of children. I don't care whether the children are 5 years old or 25 mm-hmm. years old. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, even friendships too, because everybody's life gets changed and in some ways disrupted. Hmm. And I don't think I realized it. I don't think I realized it as much then as I do now, having watched other people get remarried. I'm just more mindful of it now. Hmm. And there is some risk involved. Hmm. A couple of things we did. We took some vacations together before we were married, just
pretty
to kind
early
of
on.
Try it on. We did one the winter, only maybe 6 months after we started dating. We went up and rented a big house for a couple of days. And for the most part, it went okay. It was a little spotty, but I think generally speaking, it was a good experience. And then we did that the following summer and so on. So that was one, that kind of intentional time together as a group.
Okay.
The other thing I did is that I met with each of the kids individually. To her two girls, I made two promises. I said, if this relationship continues, I really promise you that I'm going to be good to your mom. You don't have to worry about that at all. I will be good to her. I want to be a good influence on your life. I'm never going to be your dad. I'm not even going to pretend to be your dad. That would be a violation of my role in our relationship.
Wow.
I can be a good stepdad. I can't be dad, and I won't be dad. And the third one, I can't remember, but something along the same.
Commitment to me as a mother.
I wanted to be absolutely committed to Pat being a mother. Mm-hmm. I would not interfere or get in the way. My goal was to help her be the best mom she could be. And I think the girls appreciated that that initiative and that effort. And I have a wonderful relationship with both of her daughters. Mm-hmm. But to reinforce... I really want to commend our children. They have been unusually generous to us.
Yeah.
And generous to the person that their parent married. Her two girls are just good to me. Mm-hmm. My kids are really good to her.
They are so
good
to me.
And it's a lovely gift that they gave to us.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they love me so well.
Wow. Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah, but I want to go back to not only commending your kids. And kids, if you're listening, I don't know you, but your legend is strong. They've told me many things about you.
Mm-hmm. And their spouses.
And their spouses and their kids. And you're because not only now are you guys, it's a blended family in the sense of your kids were obviously one was married, but now there's grandkids, right? Yeah. And that's a whole other beautiful, fun dynamic, I'm sure challenging.
11 of them. And the 11. And again, a shout out to these children of ours. They welcome the step parent. It is a grandparent.
Right.
Wow.
We're really functionally grandparents for all 11.
That's beautiful.
Wow. Yeah.
And that has just been another gift that they chose to give to us.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. They didn't have to.
They didn't have to do that. Yeah.
I think it's a really important thing what you just said, that they don't have to. No. And I think where it gets really awry, at least in some of the experiences of conversations I've had with folks that are in a similar situation, is that there is almost like we got remarried. So there's almost like an expectation, a forced expectation that, well, this is your grandparent now too. You know, almost instead of letting them lead it, there's on the parental side, there's a miss there. Yeah. And there's a forcing. And that really creates a lot of crazy dynamics. So I'm just highlighting that as a point to say, if somebody's listening and they're like, oh yeah, like what you're doing that's different that I think
you kind of just said really quickly, but it needs to be highlighted. You asked, you're recognizing that it's them inviting you in. It's not you jumping in and forcing yourself. We're the grandparents, it's being invited in. And that's so different. Mm-hmm. That's so different. And if you're a grandparent listening and you're in this stage, you need invitation from your children, not forcefulness. I think it's a really big deal.
In the case of Pat too, I commend her so much because, you know, my kids lost their mother at a young age. Mm. And it would have been easy for her to say, oh, here's your new mom. Mm-hmm. And Pat never did that, not even close. She was available. She was always sweet and welcoming to them and opened a relationship. But she gave my kids space. Mm. And that space invited them to step in, which they've done.
You can't violate the role that their mother played. You know, their mother is their mother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to be the best stepmother I can be, but you know, it's different.
Oh,
yeah.
But I think it's also important to highlight, you were a nurse for 30 years, you said.
Yes.
30? That's insane. Yeah. How long have you been a therapist?
Do I have to say?
No, you 16. You don't have to say.
16.
Somewhere between 1 and 80.
But 16 years. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So you can physically take care of Jerry and mentally help him along.
I try.
No, but I mean, that's just, I mean, even I'm highlighting that to just highlight, like, you as a person have obviously invested so much in caring for people in different ways, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I think that just comes out as you guys are even talking. It's just beautiful to see because what you guys are saying, which I love about this is just so second nature to you. But what I'm trying to highlight is this is actually not second nature for most people. What's second nature is usually the opposite and it leads to disaster. So I'm just wanting to put a little spotlight and just say, the way that you guys have chosen to do this thoughtfully, not perfectly, we know that.
Oh, but, goodness, no.
But thoughtfully, I think there's fruit connected to that. And I'm highlighting that for the sake of those listening to go like, no, these things really do matter. What you're talking about really does matter. Did you want to say something?
Well, it just, in hearing you guys talk, you guys honored and respected your adult children. And now you're reaping the fruit of them honoring and respecting you. Because you honored them in this process and didn't go too fast or too slow. Like you, I mean, Jerry, even you sitting with her daughters and saying those things, that's like respect and honor and really caring about all the things that they're feeling. And what it sounds like now is that over time, in the long run of that, choosing to do it that way in the beginning is now they are honoring and respecting you guys. Yeah. And a whole new family has formed in a really beautiful, natural way versus trying to just, well, I got married, so you just got to deal with it, you know? Yeah. I think that's really beautiful.
Or the opposite is isolation or withdrawal or separation. So those are your kids. So it's kind of a split. Oh, yeah. You can go too far one way or too far the other way. If we're going to have present or a presence, you buy them. Or you organize the party. I have mine, you have yours, and that isn't necessarily any better than the other extreme alternative.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to remind you about the Intentional Motherhood Retreat, October 3rd through 5th. Starts on a Thursday night, ends on a Saturday morning here in Bend, Oregon, where we live. Space is filling up quickly, but we do still have some spots left. We'd love for you to come join us. Mom, what else do they need to know?
Well, this retreat really lends itself towards bringing your friends and your family, your sister, your mom, whoever with you. It is an awful lot of fun. And remember that what we're teaching is not about how to be the perfect mom, but how to really respond to God so that He can do the spiritual formation in our lives that all of us are longing for.
Yeah, so to find out more or to register, click the link in our bio, and we can't wait to see you in October.
I want to talk about that. I want to hold some space. And I just want to say for anybody listening, that's like, are you going to talk about like how, like, what are some of the real, maybe even challenges or some of the maybe specifics? We're going to get to that. But I want to, you guys were kind of highlighting, we were talking over lunch and just to even before we started recording, the idea of marriage being a real gift to you, you know?
Yeah.
I would love to maybe just touch on that because I think there's a beautiful perspective you guys have, but could you share a little bit about that for us?
Oh, every day is a gift. It's to live with this man. It really is.
Yeah.
Not just the walking, but that's huge because that's really represents the shared life. Mm. It's the sharing of life, the coming home to someone and debriefing your day. Mm. Mm-hmm. To us, that's our very intentional practice that we believe in. Mm. And I mean, we go through it hour by hour with one another every day.
That's I'm so luxurious to have that much time.
I know. We don't have kids around.
We're at the space where like, can we get 15 minutes? If we get 15 minutes, we're like,
yeah.
And it's like, it's not hours. It's like, here's this half of the day. Here's this half of the day.
But we prioritize those 15 minutes.
We absolutely we really do.
Yeah, good for you. I mean, she still works. I still work some. So we're very active people.
Yes.
But on the days when she has clients and I'm out having meetings and so on, then we come home and we have a lot to talk about.
Yes, yes.
And so we debrief. It's the dailiness. It's the sweetness of the dailiness. So we start every morning with prayers together. We end every evening, every day with prayers together. And we do hospitality together. We like to garden together.
Yes, I was hearing about, what's that plant that's a high maintenance one? The one I forgot.
Dahlias, yeah. Okay, they're beautiful, but they remind you how beautiful they are too. there's a lot of richness there together. And the friends we share and the time we spend with them. So we've done common ministry together to some degree.
Yeah. We for a time, we're doing premarital counseling together.
I wish we had you guys before.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, that was
about
30
couples. We did quite a bit.
You know, his pastoral gifts and my counseling gifts kind of came together.
For
a period of time. We haven't done so much lately.
Yeah, developed our own guide and had homework and everything. We were pretty serious about it. And that was a great shared.
No doubt that they had homework with you being on that.
Of course, some of it they didn't understand.
Yeah. wait, I don't want to, I don't know, how am I supposed to explain the Trinity? No, I think that is really beautiful. You know, as we're even sitting here and we're talking about all this, this in one sense is ministry together too, because you're sharing your life, right? And I think, thank you for being willing to just come and share your life, because you don't have to sit in our living room and have this conversation. So we're just honored that you wanted to share your life. So there's the dailiness. What are some of those fun, I mean, you kind of said gardening together. I remember last time either you bought... I remember this because we had the blessing of getting to, the first time we got to spend time with you was at your home. Yeah. And you had I think it was a rocking chair. And was it that you had recently, was it a rocking chair or a chair that you had bought from some of the Amish community around there? Is that, am I remembering this right?
Yeah. Yes.
And that's your space that you sit every morning and you wake up. You guys have a very specific routine.
Yeah.
Could you remind, are you okay sharing your routine really quick? I just love how specific it is, if I remember right.
You say, because you're the coffee man.
So I wake up, I get up at about 5:30.
Okay.
I never set an alarm. It's just in me, in my DNA. And I check the paper. Yes, I'm old enough to still get a physical paper.
Beautiful about that, though. It really is.
And I make coffee, and then I get her up at 6.
Okay.
And she gets her coffee, and then we have our morning lap set.
I remember this.
Where we cuddle and then pray together.
That's so great.
And then she has her little spot, and I have our little spot, and we have morning devotions. You know, we don't have little kids, although sometimes our grandkids will spend the night, and then they always make their way to one lap or the other when they get out of bed in the morning. Not Gideon, who's 12. He wouldn't do that anymore, but the younger ones do.
Yes.
And then I make a green smoothie. Not all mornings, but most mornings. That's a good way to start the day, too.
Yes.
And then we go about our various tasks together or separately.
A great way to start your day.
It's a great. No, I mean, I find we have different little rituals, too. I mean, right now in our stage of life, they're more individual because it's like she's waking up early. We're waking up at different times. Not always. But yeah, I think in time, I see a lot of that in our future as well. But we have our own rituals as well. And they're just something that are so grounding, so centering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful stage of life that you're in it. You know, one of the things we talked about before we started filming was about the idea of, you know, it's a new beginning. You know, this is a new beginning for you guys, you were saying. And I'm thinking of the people that are listening, that are excited, maybe... there was tragedy, like in your situation, Jerry, there was just catastrophic loss, unexpected. Pat, in your story, loss in a different sense. Mm-hmm. and obviously hurt on both sides of that. No matter how you look at either of those, like mm-hmm. there's dreams or things that have changed. Coming back together, tell me about like some of that, just coming back together, the new beginning, the new dreams. So those who are listening who are saying, oh man, like give us some perspective on that. I'm not asking that question well, but I'm just thinking through of like, give us some reality, because I know that it's a new beginning and it's exciting, but it's also real. Marriage is still hard no matter who you marry, at least from what everyone's told me.
Jerry. I like to put it this way. It's a new beginning. And for us, it's been really a lovely gift, honestly. We just have such deep affection for each other and love for each other. We love to do life together. We say that almost every day. That's all a gift. But even though we can call it a new beginning, it is not an ending of something. It's a continuation of a story that began before the two of us met. You carry everything into marriage. You carry your habits, your background, your problems, your trauma, your family of origin, in our case, children, and how you handle money, your routines. I mean, the list could go on for a long time.
The way you like to vacation, how you keep your house.
How you decorate, how you're going to spend your money. I mean, there's a lot of complexity there that has to be negotiated.
Yeah.
And it's hard work to do that.
Okay.
I mean, we had a couple of experiences that are funny now, but not so much then.
Give us some of those. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I liked putting a lot of pictures on the fridge.
Still does.
Photos.
Still
does.
I know that because when I was there, covered. It was just covered.
Well, it used to not only when we were dating, it was not only covering the fridge, it was covering most of the cupboards.
The cupboards.
And I used a lot of magnets, many, many magnets from around the world. See, it was ugly, really ugly. And she has a greater aesthetic than I do, I'll put it that way. So when we got married, I'm just assuming all that stuff is going to stay up. And she thought, we need to confine these photos to a much more limited space. And I said, this stuff means so much to me. And she pointed at one photo with two babies, twins, and said, who are these people? I had no idea.
He had no idea. But they were some missionaries.
When I realized they were twin children of missionaries, and those children were now 18 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Photos are still out.
I was exposed.
She got you.
But he would throw down the spiritual card. I pray for them all. Oh, I have to leave them all. I'm like, oh my goodness.
I'm a little embarrassed here.
Hey, we're all human, you know? We're all real.
Yeah. Anyway, so we took all the magnets down and piled them on a table, and they were about the height of Mount Everest. Yeah. I mean, there were so many. So that's an example, though,
It's a symbol of
color or furniture, what you put on the walls, how you paint them. Space matters.
Sure.
Yeah. Time and space. And the other one is time. What time you get up, what time you go to bed, whether you plan your Saturdays. That was another conflict.
Yeah.
Go and tell them about that one when it comes to how I wanted to spend part of a Saturday.
Well, he would have coffee with several people and... I mean, I was home cleaning or doing, you know, something or expecting to spend time with my new husband. It's the weekend.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's like
making appointments. You know?
And then I'd want to read for a while.
And then I want to read. And I'm like, no one reads on a 90-degree day inside in
Jerry
Spokane,
does.
Washington. It's Jerry beautiful. Let's go do something. You know? So we had a lot of difference.
Of course.
Also, I moved into his home.
Yeah.
So which is a very big deal.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't have an opinion on whether or not that's a good idea or not, because I think it's a mixed bag.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it's what we chose
at
the time. And it worked out for us. But I wouldn't say it was an easy decision or a smooth, no big deal thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
Oh, I'm trying to think of, I'm just thinking of our dynamic. And Elizabeth, for a long time, thought she was maybe passive or not opinionated. This was before we got married at 21.
Before I was very self-aware.
Yeah, but I mean, as years have gone on. So it's just fun because, like, I'm thinking of if this were, you know, I'm trying to put us in that space and thinking, yeah. My goodness, like the amount of just preferences that I know I would have around the details of decoration or the details, right, of like how we still have this tension around like what is clean versus not clean, you, right, know, like, well, I, you know, that definition can be that can swing everywhere.
Well, when you're 53 and 60 or whatever, when we, yeah, married, you've been used to doing it your way a long time.
And you were used to doing, mm-hmm, it by yourself.
In my
yourself.
Case, I was the head of household for 20 years. Yeah. So, I did everything.
That's got to be so tricky.
Yes.
It was very tricky, like, but also really funny at, yeah, times too.
Like, yeah, I was the mom and I was in charge of the house.
Yeah.
And I now was the all dad of a sudden, and was the I was in charge of the house.
So we had to, yeah, you know, work that one out.
I'm, yeah, just trying to think of what, like, where was it? I mean, because the examples you share are great, but I would wonder if, like, even a more like daily one, like the responsibility, did you just take on a bunch of different responsibilities, Jerry, like in the sense, like, because you were just used to doing everything, like you said, you were, well, used to doing everything.
And, yeah, to some degree were, yeah, I mean, we had a thing through a division of labor.
Right.
And, wow, you were disabused very quickly of saying, oh, we're just going to do everything together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not no, possible to do everything together. But, sure, we worked it out pretty well.
Yeah.
When it comes to decorations and,
yeah,
division of labor, you carry different standards into it.
Yeah.
So I like order.
I like clean.
Yeah. Which, yeah, is a great combination, yeah, but probably hard to come at.
Yeah.
It can be a great combination. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And our standards. So her standards
different.
And mine are, mm-hmm, quite different that way.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah.
We one of the things we did is we had a long hallway in our old house. We've since moved. And, mm-hmm, we decided to kind of tell the story in that hallway. So we had photos of the three family members I lost, my mom, my daughter, and my wife.
Mm.
And then we had photos of her with the girls and just the girls and so on, and of my clan of six and then down to four. Mm. And then our wedding.
We had a picture of my entire family.
Of her entire family, including her former husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we wanted to have the story represented.
The real
that
story.
We didn't begin, wow, with us.
And our childhood.
And childhood photos.
Oh,
all amazing. In this hallway. And, right, then our wedding photo and a few of our wedding.
Hmm.
And then of our new clan, a larger. And then it's gone on since
weddings.
Then. Now we have 23 in that family photo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So we would have had a hallway that was so full after having 11 yeah, grandchildren. We,
yeah,
would, yeah.
Do you guys still have, did you replace that story somewhere else or have you guys replaced
no,
it?
No, now we've got a hallway that kind of looks down on our living room. We have a step down living room,
yeah, yeah,
and we have the photos of every family unit with their own kids.
Because all five of our kids are married.
Yeah.
And
they
children.
All have children. Yeah. Right.
Wow.
So we have those five, and then, okay, we have one of us with our grandchildren, and then one of the whole clan of 23. And then we renew that every year.
Hmm.
And then fridge now is for grandkids, grandkids and kids. I change that about once a month.
Okay.
To, uh-huh, keep it always current. I'm kind of the photo guy.
Yeah.
And
sounds
we
like
always
it.
Make sure that every grandchild is represented in some meaningful way and every adult in some kind of combination.
Do the kids love coming over and seeing,
oh,
their,
yeah,
photo?
First
I'm sure
thing
they
do, and they count the number of photos.
Yes, they
only,
did.
Yeah, I'm only up there three times and so and so.
Oh,
my
kids
would
do the same.
And Landon's, yeah, on there four times.
Yeah.
And then I look at them and say, then do something interesting and you'll get more.
There you go.
No, my son-in-law, Mike, says that it's on the fridge before it happens.
So. That's incredible.
But not on the cabinets anymore.
Nope. Just
on the fridge.
No,
just the fridge. Yeah. And they're in folders now with magnets, so it does look a little more tasteful.
A little neater.
I just, you know, we had the privilege of being with your house. Whatever combination and all that you've worked out has been very pleasant. It's landed well. I
yes,
know it's
it
probably a fight to get there, but very peaceful.
It's work, yeah.
And, but yeah, the you know, you said this phrase before we started recording that I think is really interesting. You said it's important to let the kids know that I'm not stealing her. You know, I think there's, tell me more about that, because yeah. I'd be curious about where that phrase comes from and really what that looks like.
Well, I think ultimately you, when your parent gets married, that is a fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially for young children, but you know, even when you're young yeah. adults, yeah. will I lose my parent? Mm-hmm. Will I mean, they've already lost the family structure that they had originally, depending on what the circumstances are. And then to see your parent so happy and off and getting married to someone else, there's naturally going to be a fear that, you know, they would lose them to some extent. And I think that was our goal more than anything. I mean, really, that was one of the things that really attracted me to Jerry was I really felt like I would be a better mother being married to Jerry. And that's my intent in with Jerry is to help him be the best father and grandfather that he can be. And that is ultimately loving the other person.
Yeah. What did that look like on a practical level? Because I'm thinking, I love the sound of that, but like I'm imagining there's love, there's infatuation, there's new feelings that you haven't been able to express. I mean, even some sense you maybe were in high school or college whenever you got married.
Yeah.
So you have that natural excitement, honeymoon phase, infatuation, but then you also have these little ones that you're still trying to carry along. So what did that just kind of look like? How did you guys prioritize, you know, making sure that was the reality and not just drifting off? You know, because I think that happens to a lot of couples. We have a new offering for you. If you would like to receive daily or weekly text messages and encouragement around parenting, marriage, with prayers and scriptures, click the link in the show notes and we would love to send those to you. Can't wait to connect more with you.
Well, for us, again, our children were adults. Yeah. So we did have that, you know, we had the privilege well, it was just our circumstances that we had space to nurture a new marriage, you know, without worrying about them on a daily basis. So it was more, as your organization always you know, emphasizes, it's being intentional.
So, I mean, Pat's exactly right. All our kids were living at a distance. Four out of the five now live within 5 minutes of us. So it's been a huge change. They came back first. One still lives in Seattle. We see them frequently, but they came back. And then after landing, they said to us, or my daughter kind of representing them said, look, you live way on the north side. You're 25 minutes away. You're now retired and your friends are all over the city. Why don't you move close to us? We'd like you to age in place and be involved in our lives and in the lives of our children, because that number was growing. So 3 years ago now, we moved kind of right in the middle of them. And that has been convenient. And what a huge gift for us. And that, again, makes us our circumstances pretty unusual to have such a clan kind of surrounding. Now, that doesn't mean we see them every day. We don't. But there's a lot of crossover and a lot of investment. I think the question is, you look at your circumstances first. How many children? Are there children? Are they gone? Are they not gone? You got to look at your landscape, what it is. Do they live at a distance? Did we court from a distance? Did we court in the same town? How much friend overlap do we have? Was it an online romance, or was it a romance because we were going to the same church? There are a lot of variables involved. So look at your circumstances, and then we ask one question. How can we be a force for good in the other person's life? Their friendships. How can I be good to her friends? So I don't say, well, they're your friends. No. And in children, or now in grandchildren, so that you're always invested in the good, whatever that looks like. And then you have to ask, what does the good look like?
I'm curious, Jerry, you said obviously 20 years from when your former wife passed. I know, and I think we've talked about this before, so forgive me if I've already asked this question. I know I haven't here, but there was some intentionality, if I remember, on your part. Was there intentionality to waiting because the kids were so young? Am I right about that? Waiting to date or even entertain the idea of remarriage?
Yeah, I did have some dates, and I had one relationship that lasted for a while, but I was absolutely committed to having the kids be gone.
Really? So So that's really interesting. I want to hone in on that for just a second, because I talked to lots of different folks. We have the privilege of connecting with a lot of different people, and a common question that I can't answer because this just isn't our situation, but you know, how long should we wait to get remarried? I hear that all the time. Like, I'm divorced. It's usually because I'm a guy, guys talking to me, how long should I wait to get remarried? And I can't often answer.
No, there's no answer.
There's no answer. Yeah. And I'm thank you for reiterating that, because I feel like that's the case. But it's also really tricky because even recently, one of the guys has younger kids. And so, I mean, I just find it so tricky, you know, because I can't tell him like, oh, you should wait or you shouldn't. But where for you, you said with such conviction, I was absolutely until the kids are older. What was that about? I can guess, but I'd love in your words, why did you wait until the kids were old?
Well, again, it's not an ideal. It's not an answer. It's not the only way to do things. I feel very strongly I need to make that clear.
Okay.
In my case, there were a couple of things. The accident, that's how these family members died, was really disruptive. It was very traumatic. And it took me a while to get back on my feet and achieve a kind of equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're there, it's kind of like changing jobs. Any big change is very disruptive. All of a sudden, you've got a whole new set of relationships. Mm-hmm. What if I met a woman and she had two kids? Or what if I had met Pat 15 years earlier with two kids? All of a sudden, you've got an enormous amount of more adjustment on top of the adjustment that was already being made.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some job offers too and said, it's not worth it. Now, I'm not sure I was right. But that's the course I set, right or wrong, that I wanted to kind of play it safe, stay in the same house. I didn't move. I stayed in the same job. And I tried to stay on task when it comes to the responsibilities that I had. I had a job that was pretty conducive. I was a university professor, so I could kind of make the time my own.
Okay.
And I would say it worked out reasonably well. But again, I want to say that is not an answer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's the decision that I made.
That's helpful. I'd love to talk about the challenges. Let's talk about some challenges. Is that okay? When you guys have gotten to that spot, because, you know, and we'll keep going. We have other spots. But I want to talk about some of the realness of it, because you're blending, like you've already kind of set up, you've blended these lives together. Let's talk about Christmas decorations. I know you mentioned that earlier. So give me some of the challenges, you know, of what happens when you blend two families and lives together.
We did not have the same idea about how Christmas should look.
Okay. So actually let's do this. This will be fun. Well, how should it look for you? How should it look for you? What were your guys' ideals before we get to what you landed on?
You can answer.
Elegant, folksy.
Got it. Okay.
That would be it. Okay. Every morning when I woke up, this is the first year. We get married in August, so Christmas is, you know, in December.
Sure.
The first year, every morning I'd get up and there'd be more decorations. And they were of the
handmade variety.
Yes.
Got it.
And finally, one morning I get up and there are little toy drums thumbtacked to the mantle. And I was okay, I can't do it.
I cannot do this anymore.
We got to talk this one over. I was like newlywed, trying to it'll be okay. We'll blend someday. And I was like, okay, no.
Last straw. Thumbtacks
and drummer.
The little toy drums were it.
Yep. Wow.
The breaking point. Yeah, so, not of the marriage.
No.
Of how we do Christmas. So we had a lot of homemade tree decorations too.
Got it.
Which we've kept.
And we have actually kept. Yeah. We've integrated again. Yeah. We have some of that. And then we've accumulated more ourselves through our travel and other things. I'd say the one thing that did work is I would always make the stockings that hung from the mantle.
Okay.
Right.
And they're in the shape of a boot, you know, and with a design made of felt.
Okay.
And I would have called 1-800-POTTERY-BARN and ordered them with their name on it.
That was anathema to me. Definitely. So she deferred to me in this one. And now we have 23 stockings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually 25, because we still hang the stockings for Dinah Jane and my first wife, Linda. Which has been a gift that she's given, and more than a gift. She sees the honor that they're due. Wow. And they're really quite lovely now. We have a pretty nice designs.
Are you still doing them?
I do every one of them.
Grandchild.
Wow. But the other thing we've done now is that the grandchildren, I do a wood puzzle with their name on it when they're born. And it often now reflects the design on their Christmas stocking.
I have to say, when we first got married, the first ones that we were making, I sew the stocking, which is a very basic, you know, just sew the stocking, and we were decorating them together, and I got fired.
You don't know what you're doing. So, Jerry has lots of years of experience in this, apparently.
He is very particular about the stockings, so
it's become your thing.
Completely a Baba decoration.
Yeah, my grandkids call me Baba and Mimi.
On the other hand,
it's much more simple now. Our house is not crowded with stuff.
Sure.
And it does have a much more elegant feel. And that is true to who she is. In fact, when we moved 3 years ago, our house kind of looks like a Swiss chalet on the outside. It's very quirky, but in a really winsome way.
Yes.
And it just is a whole lot more elegant. The walls are white. We have really nice art in it. And my style was kind of late 19th century country.
He still had geese. Yeah, from the 80s. He was into the geese.
Wait, like as in a design concept?
Yes.
Or as like wallpaper?
That was a thing in the 80s.
I'm remembering it from my childhood. Yeah. That's when I was born. So I remember this.
Yeah.
I just remember rooster wallpaper, especially in the kitchen. Like borders, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Roosters.
Oh, I had wallpaper. I had country everywhere.
Country.
Yeah. Hey, you liked it, you know? Well, I think at what point... You know, I'm just, did you continue to evolve your style after Linda passed, or did it change, or did you keep everything the same, or did you kind of just...
No, I made some furniture. That's one of my hobbies after she died. I when you lose a spouse, that's a very different experience, obviously, from divorce. When you lose a spouse, there's this fine line between creating an altar as if you're worshiping or eliminating them, erasing them from memory. And I've seen it happen both ways. I've actually heard people who've suffered trauma of losing a loved one, and within 3 months, that person literally disappeared. You couldn't find them. And others where a room is kept that way for the next 15 or 20 years.
Yeah. Got it.
And it's a tricky business. Everyone's got to kind of find their own way through that maze. In my case, she was in the home, but she wasn't in the whole home.
Yeah.
Photos, other things, some customs that we did that would honor her and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But when you remarry, you can have a second marriage mentality. I landed on something that was really worked for the two of us.
Yes.
Really worked for us is that it never felt right for me to say, well, this is my second wife. Yeah. And finally, I had a kind of aha moment. And I realized, no, our marriage is so lovely, such a huge gift that she is my first wife the second time around. And that's how it feels to us, both of us.
I love that.
Wow. That's I think if you're listening, hit the 10 second back button. Yeah. First wife, second time around. Yeah. That's beautiful. And it's honoring too. You know, it's honoring to the relationship that you guys have in this stage of life. And if anybody ever has the privilege of being around you like we do, you guys really are truly in love. You can see it. Mm-hmm. It's also great to see Pat put Jerry in his place, which I think you're the only person that really can do that.
Yeah. Oh, no. My children are very good at doing that.
Yeah, true.
Right,
that's the next dynamic
yeah.
we need to see.
Nothing to worry about.
Just keep him grounded. Yeah. No, but I mean, it's so apparent. And you guys obviously have nurtured that and cared for it in such a beautiful way. I think you know, you sit here calmly as a couple and, you know, you guys look great. Go into YouTube to check this out. Like, you guys look great. Mm-hmm. You obviously care for your life emotionally, physically, spiritually. And that's beautiful, but it's been through, you guys have been through so many hard things.
We have.
Yeah. Really hard things. Give us some wisdom and perspective from your vantage point. You know, you have a perspective that's a little higher on the hill than some of us. You can see a little further. You can see perspective. What are some of the things that have helped you guys, whether that's individually or together, just stay in a place of being grounded and focused on Jesus and at a place where, you know, you're vibrant at this stage of life, not mm-hmm. tired and angry and mad at life?
Well, I'm going to start because she has a lot to say about this. One of the things that we are learning right now is the capacity that I think we have through God's design and through the work of the Holy Spirit to hold things, to carry things, not to get rid of things. I mean, when you remarry, you have to hold the first marriage in all of its glory and sometimes its pain. In fact, always it's pain. And you have to hold the emotions you carry into the marriage. There's so much that you carry. And our natural intent is either to utterly capitulate to those things and to resign ourselves, or to think we can just kind of push it aside. We're remarried now and it's all better. Yeah. I said once, and she got pretty irritated, rightfully so. I said, remarriage does not solve a problem. Remarriage just creates a different kind of problem. No, that was not the most
music
romantic.
To your ears, huh?
He's not always the most romantic. No.
Really smart, but not romantic. Very true. Very true.
So I talk a little bit about that holding of the emotions, the trauma, what memory, whatever it happens to be, because I think your perspective is really helpful here. Has been to me anyway.
Well, and you say it all the time, you never get over some of the really traumatic things that occur to you in life, you know, in a sense. I mean, they hopefully take their proper place in your memory and in the perspective from your whole life. But you do learn to carry them. These are really Jerry's words. You learn to carry your pains and your heartaches and your disappointments forward. It's a whole lot easier when you're well loved, honestly. There's one of the biggest advantages of remarriage. It's a gift to have someone share your burden.
Wow.
And so, to live in the Christian story is so important and has been for us too. You feel like you're in a narrative that's continuing to unfold, and you can have some really bad chapters, some really hard times, but you have to stay in that story and give God room. Just give him room to work things out. Not naively. We don't sit passively. We have our role to play in choosing wisely, in loving well, in developing discipline, all the kinds of things that are so clear in Scripture. And yet that in of itself is simply not enough. So I want God to have space. I don't always give God space. Emotions crowd in, my desire to control, all those kinds of things. But I want to give God a lot of room.
So, Elizabeth, I'm sure you have questions. I just keep talking. So I need to give you space. Would you like to ask? I feel like this is what happens in these dynamics. I just want to make sure that you have space.
No, I'm just enjoying listening to your wisdom and, you know, sitting with two people who've decided to be really thoughtful and wise about how you have lived your life and how you are still living your life. And I just love what you just shared of learning to hold the full story and not just say, well, this is the new story. So, you know, gone is the past. Here's the new story. But no, we each have our own stories of both beautiful things and really difficult things that we're bringing into now our shared story.
Right.
And to see how what that has created in your whole family dynamic, not just between the two of you, but in your whole family story, I think is just such a beautiful picture of what God can do. And we know that God is so powerful, he can do anything, and yet he chooses to give us agency and will, and we also have to choose to want to see what he might want to restory. And I just, from listening to you both, from getting to see your life, you've chosen to let God create this beautiful restory process. And I wish I could say, we see people all over the place doing that. And I think it is a rare and beautiful find. And I think it is really hopeful to anybody who might be listening, who is maybe in a part of their story that they wish wasn't their story, or that they're maybe trying to run from or reframe. But to hear you guys say it's learning to hold both, and there's so much beauty in the all the stories combined. It's really beautiful.
I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul. On the one hand, he says, from now on, I don't look at anybody from a human point of view, even though I once regarded even Christ from a human point of view, I regard him thus no longer. If anyone is in Christ, that person is a
new creation.
He also says of himself, I'm the chief of sinners.
Yeah.
Both are true.
Both are true.
And we have to learn to live in that tension and do that in marriage and raising kids and so on.
Yeah.
I want to say one other thing. Where I think where all of this symbolizes or expresses itself as such a divine gift is the relationships we have with our grandchildren.
That was my next question.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you guys.
Tell me about that. If you're enjoying this content and you want to go deeper, we have an amazing resource that we want to tell you about. It's the Intentional Film Series, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. Now, this is an incredible tool for you for spiritual formation in the family. And we created this film series to help parents in their God-given task to raise and disciple their own children. Now, our hope is that we're able to help you and give you some of the tools that I know we so desperately need as we're in the process of raising our kids, and Phil and Diane have actually raised their kids. This is a 9-session film series on the process of what raising a passionate Jesus follower actually looks like. There's some workable solutions in here. There's a bunch of wisdom from the scriptures, and there's a bunch of practical help in your journey as you are raising your children. We cover all sorts of things like parental roles, goals versus values. What is discipline versus punishment? How do I create a heart of obedience in my child where they actually want to obey? What does a heart of self-control look like? Or how do I even help my child in the process of character development? We cover that and so many more things. You can use this film series in a variety of ways. You can use it at your home, preferably with your spouse if that's applicable, with a group of friends or in your community, or even through your local church. All you need to do is head over to our website, intentionalparents.org, click on film series, and then follow the prompts. We have a bunch of other resources there that you can check out, but we do pray that this blesses you in your pursuit of raising passionate Jesus followers.
Well, I think that is a really interesting question, and I think it's easy to focus just on the grandchildren, too. And we see focusing on the grandchildren as a way of serving our children. But our children are still really important to us too. So I think it takes quite a bit of intentionality and flexibility to get to spend time alone with each child and also with their spouses, because we really want to know and be in relationship with their spouses. So
both end,
it's a very it's a dynamic that's always moving and changing, like whether or not we have a regular coffee date with one child, they might have the ability to do that, whereas another child's work schedule and the age of their children and their daycare, it's really hard. Like maybe once every 3 months you get a chance to like take a walk with one of my daughters who's, you know, working and full time and has little kids. And you know, that sort of
so
thing.
Busy.
So,
yeah, everybody works.
So, it, you know, it takes a lot of negotiating what's good for them, what do they have time for, and what do they seem to need to be able to spend time with each person individually or as a group.
Now, she always asks the question, what do they need right now? That's where we're going to begin.
Yeah, that's where I try.
And that's that really, will vary depending on a lot of circumstances, considering their social circumstance or their circumstances. They have all have networks of friends.
Yeah.
They all work. They all own homes, which means a lot of work done in the home.
Sure.
They all have little kids except for Catherine and Jacob.
Hmm.
And some of their jobs are pretty demanding. And one of her daughters is a full-time student and works part-time.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how to connect with them is a demanding enterprise.
Yeah.
Hmm. And we try to look for little moments. So sometimes when some of the grandkids are at our house and they come over, they'll linger. And that's a signal.
Yeah,
we're ready to catch up for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Mm.
And you have to be satisfied with that 20 minutes and make the most of it.
Yeah.
So in some cases, if Morgan, one of hers comes, I may be very active playing with the kids so she has a chance to catch up. Mm-hmm. See what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that will alternate depending on the child and the set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a coffee, sometimes a walk.
Mm. Yeah.
Sometimes they'll have a family unit over and then make sure that the kids can do something so we can talk even for 15 minutes as
adults.
Sure,
sure. Mm-hmm. That's a great...
I love the question that sounds like you're always asking, what do they need?
Yes.
And that's going to change depending on what season they're in, what their week is like, but that is so different than what do I want?
Yes.
You know, what kind of connection do I want? What do I want it to look like? But to hear you say... that's your mindset towards your adult children is what do they need? And sometimes they just need you to pour into their kids so that they can have a minute or they can go to work or they, and sometimes it's 20 minute connection.
It's with you guys. They need you.
Yeah.
So this past week, a couple of kids were at soccer camp and I talked to the moms and I just said, would it be helpful if I picked them up? A little thing.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah.
Phil and Diane do that
too. And it's very helpful. Yes.
He's just like on it. But I think, you know, people often ask us about our relationship with Phil and Diane. And I think it's important to say that they have a similar posture, like we've talked about. And even like we were telling you guys today, and Phil and Diane know this, if we speak well of people behind their back, we tell them to their face. So we'll just say it on the podcast and hopefully they'll listen to it. But I think they're really great at this. Even just recently, we were sharing a story of something Elizabeth and I were processing, and their first response wasn't negative. It was like, oh my gosh, we just want to let you guys dream and let you guys, you know, we just want to release you to live and to do whatever you're dreaming of in your heart. And you're like, that shouldn't be your perspective. Your perspective should be, you know, at least my natural fleshly one would be like, protect, serve, do what's best for you.
Think about yourself.
So I just am highlighting that for anyone listening, especially that's in your agent stage, to go like, that's the difference maker. When you guys come and say, what do they need? Like, how can we help and love and encourage and serve? That just creates space for relationship and desire for relationship with your adult kids in ways that I don't think a lot of folks that are parents of adult children understand.
We often say, mostly humorously, our job description at this stage in life is to be an immovable object and a fixed point.
Right.
That's great.
So, I mean, I had someone save me a year ago, you are so predictable. And I think the person meant it as a compliment, or I took it that way.
That person
did not mean it as a compliment.
You will be at this place at this time. That's beautiful, though.
Every once in a while, I'll ask Pat, honey, am I getting really boring?
No. Gosh, no. he may be a lot of things, but he's not boring.
That's I was going to say, I would never, ever put that word with you, my man. Yeah. Never.
I add to that one thing?
Yes.
Because I talk to a lot of people. I'm a therapist. This isn't just our experience. But I hear a lot of people my age with their adult children and their grandchildren disappointed because they're not included enough, or they're not brought in, or they don't have enough relationship. And I tend to take the posture and encourage, it's really up to you.
Yeah.
It's up to you to go towards them and to offer. I'll pick up the kids. I'll do this.
Yes.
What do you need?
Yes.
Could we have coffee? I mean, obviously you have to be sensitive and, you know, gauge what's the response you're getting.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really, young parents are too busy to think about how to schedule in their parents some days.
You're right.
Yeah.
And I think it just will go better for everyone if you just... You be the one who always makes the move.
Mm. Yeah.
That is...
With open hands, not expecting much. Yes.
Right. And you know, honestly, our kids make moves. I can't say they do.
Don't. Yeah.
I'm just saying this is a general principle.
That's the posture. Like if you take that posture, you're going to create a
our
place
kids
for...
Are lovely that way.
So an illustration, Monday we brought a gift over, a birthday gift to somebody we were late on. And they were in the backyard and, you know, it's... Later in the afternoon, everybody's a little crabby. One's whining. Then the two boys start to scrape a little bit. And Henry fires a squirt gun at Charlie. Charlie chases after him. He falls over a bicycle. And then it's all Charlie's fault. And you could tell the parents were kind of rolling their eyes. Oh, my gosh. What? And we walked away thinking, that's what their world is like.
Yeah, it's hard.
And we've forgotten we once lived in that world.
Yeah.
And it was exhausting.
It's exhausting. Every
and you
day.
Wanted to be able to say, stop it. And they would just kind of stop and never do it again.
Yes.
And I've never seen a home that operates that way.
This is so validating. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry.
And that's just a minute in the day, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's
makes us really sympathetic with really how complex and busy and demanding their world is. And what they don't need is people whose feelings are always, you know, 6 inches in front of their fingertips, always taking offense at something.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we might really feel that once in a while, but get over yourself.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't ever bring into perspective, that it's actually okay to get over yourself. It's okay to not get all the things you want.
Yeah.
It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to not have it. But I think that's beautiful perspective. What have I missed? What have I not asked that I think would be that you guys have so many things we could say, right? Mm. So I would just be curious, what are something like that's kind of bubbling on your heart of all the things you could share?
Anything?
I can't think of anything. You have anything we wrote down?
Well, I mean, it's a complex business, so you have to be ready for that.
Hmm.
And romance doesn't make it simple. Oh, romance may be simple, but what the romance leads to is not.
Hmm.
So you got to disentangle that a little bit and recognize that the bond between the two of you in remarriage can be strong and beautiful and rich and even romantic and full of electricity and power. But the world's going to stay the same.
Hmm.
And to be intentional about that world,
prayerful,
thoughtful, self-aware, ready to invest, ready to do the hard work of not always blending, doesn't always work. We've got friends remarried that didn't do any blending at all.
Hmm.
Sometimes it does. Integration would be, I think, a better, more realistic term.
Yeah.
And that's a lifelong process that you just stay at with some good days and some bad days.
Yeah.
But we really like being married, I will say that. And we really like our kids and our grandkids. So there's a lot of richness there.
Yeah. You can see the richness.
Yeah.
What is your currently today? And it can be as broad or it can be as complex or as simple as you want to make it, but what are you enjoying about marriage today or in this season?
Oh, I mean, our life is so rich. I mean, right now we're in Bend, Oregon. Yeah. We're going to go paddleboarding and have a nice dinner at a rice restaurant together and walk and talk and process this.
Yeah. You guys could talk about this today.
Yes.
You know, like that so weird interview that
again goes back to the dailiness.
Yeah.
The dailiness.
Been a very rich part of our marriage.
And we'll get in to bed and do our prayers and go to sleep and get up and
start all over again. Start walking immediately. Yeah. The real question is, do you track your steps? Like, how many steps you go in a day? You guys have to know this. You guys have some.
What do we have for today?
I'd say in the spring, summer, and fall, I probably average somewhere 16,000 to 18,000 a day.
No way.
Mm-hmm. He does.
How many walks are you going on a day for that?
No, I'm just working in the yard.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just the dailiness of it. But we really want to remain active.
Yeah.
Well, so, that many steps, you're doing it.
Well, yeah. What are you at? You got your tracker right here. I want to know this.
Yeah. I've got 9,169 for so far.
And you guys still have
doing
a nighttime walk.
So far. You still got more day left.
No, we took a hike this morning.
Yeah. Oh, we did take a little walk this morning.
Wow. So. Yeah, I love that we're just checking out your steps. You guys are the real deal. This is integrity. You guys are doing it. You're living honestly.
When we've gone to Europe a few times together, and I like to do walking tourism. I'll take back streets everywhere,
7 miles away,
to galleries to find obscure restaurants.
I gotta and say,
we can put up on over 30,000 steps. Not always to her liking.
I was gonna say at that point you can just eat your way through the trip and potentially lose weight. So we actually eat ourselves our way through the trip. That's the best part about
the best kind of trip.
The walking cultures, you know. But that's truth for health. This has been so rich. Mm-hmm. I just want to say thank you guys so much for taking time and just depositing wisdom. And, you know, this is one of those things that is so complex. I think what you just shared, Jerry, about it's beautiful, but it's super complex. Just the reality and the wisdom that you both have just brought to this conversation. So helpful. I know I'm so encouraged. And that's not our particular perspective, but the thing that you kept saying, which I think is so healthy for every marriage, is basically, how do you serve the person? How do you serve your spouse? How do you serve your kids? How do you serve your grandkids? And you start to realize, like, oh, there's a theme, blended family or integrated family, whatever situation you are in, taking that posture of following Jesus and serving the other person is beautiful and has lots of fruit. And your guys' life is an example of that. So thank you. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Do yourself a favor. If you've listened this far already to this episode, go back and listen to some of the episodes that we did with you guys last year, Jerry. But you were in the room, Pat, so your presence is felt. Your presence is felt on that podcast. But thanks for taking time to sit with us. And you guys have been a real dream to connect with. So thank you.